Welcome to Bigfoot Trail Tales, a podcast exploring all aspects of the Bigfoot Trail in Northwest California and Southwest Oregon, from through hikes, day hikes, natural history, and stewardship. Today, we're joined by Eva Piantowski, who has had several adventures on the Bigfoot Trail this summer. Eva, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Cool. Well, we appreciate all of your work this summer and all of your adventures, which we're going to hear more about. But would you mind just starting out telling us a little bit about yourself and how you found the Bigfoot Trail?
Sure. I am a born and raised San Franciscan, so I'm from California and grew up enjoying the outdoors, mostly in the Sierras. And just, I guess, as I've gotten a little older, have ventured more into Northern California. And back in 2022, had randomly met a Bigfoot trail crew in the Marbles. So that was my introduction to the Bigfoot even existed. So it's been my radar ever since, and kind of like a dream to learn more and more about it and do a little bit of it this summer.
Amazing. Very cool. So your summer started with a hike, right? So tell us a little bit about the hike that you did on the Bigfoot Trail.
Yeah. Well, let's see, where did it all start this year? I was able to clear out like 3 weeks of paid time off from my job. And that was like mid-June to mid-July. So a little early in the season for doing anything. Especially with the snow season we had. So I was kind of like, not really sure what I was going to do until maybe the week before I decided to just drive up and check out the conditions along some places along the Bigfoot, and ended up deciding to cache some food for myself along the way. And
You went to the Yolaboli area to scout, or where were you thinking about potentially hiking when you first went up there?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking to start in the Yolabolis, and my original plan was to just try and do the whole Bigfoot, but I was also super curious about the PCT section that goes from I-5 Castle Craigs to the Marbles, and I've been wanting to do that for years as well. And so I went to scout Stewart Fork, especially that crossing. And it was the week before I was going to start in the Yolabolis, and it was definitely too high to cross at that time, but I was hopeful it would get a little lower. And anyways, a roundabout way of saying that I decided to just kind of put two dreams together and do a chunk of the Bigfoot, and then from the Marbles, do a chunk of the PCT going back to I-5. And just logistically, that was a easier choice for me, and getting picked up on I-5 versus out of Crescent City as well.
Yes. Yeah. Logistically, the particularly the start of the Bigfoot Trail can be a little challenging, but even the finish, it's a nice finish, obviously, in a small town, but it's hard to get there and get home from there. So that's cool. So I like that creative thinking on your part. So you tell us a little bit about your hike. Tell us the beginning, middle, and end. You know, give us a little overview of what you did out there.
Just in one word, it was wonderful. even just the very first day driving to Mount Lynn, that was my first time going to Mount Lynn, and there was still a good amount of snow. It was gorgeous. So I just did a couple miles around that, around Mount Lynn to where you can see the knob and kind of where I was going to be going the next day. And even just that first night, just sleeping, kind of exposed, kind of chilly, but watching the sunset, it was just so gorgeous being surrounded by, I guess that was my first taste of Shasta firs. And so that was the very beginning. And I had so many pleasant experiences. Just the very next day, I ran into the Conservation Corps team that was working along Robinson Creek, and they had heard of the Bigfoot, so they knew exactly what I was doing and were just really nice. I kept running into them because they were packing out that day. So they kept passing me back and forth, and even the next morning ran into them again a couple times. So just a lot of nice trail talks with them. And
Oh, that's great. Yeah, they spent a good amount of time doing trail work in the Yolaboli this summer. I think it was upwards over a month they were back there. Is that right?
They had, I think we're finishing 6 weeks, they 6 said.
weeks. Nice.
Something like that. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, they weren't able to go. And I think the same thing I heard happened to your trail crew too in the Yola Bullies, wasn't able to go towards Mount Lynn too far because there was just a big chunk of snow
Yes.
right on that ridge up to Mount Lynn. So yeah.
Yeah, but between the Seas and the Bigfoot Trail Alliance, an amazing amount of trail work was reestablished or done, done for the first time in a long time back deep in the Yola Bullies. And for those that haven't been into the Yola Bullies, I think you would attest that it's one of the most remote places in California. That ridge line that the Bigfoot Trail walks, that you walked, is really the divide between the Coast Range and the Sacramento River. So you've got the Trinity River draining to the west. You've got the Mad River. You've got the Eel River, all draining westward, and then Cottonwood Creek drains to the east into the Sacramento, and there's just spectacular views that whole way. Robinson Creek that you mentioned, that's the headwaters of the Eel. So really cool. So yeah, well, that's great. So then tell us what was next after the Yola Bullies. What did you find?
Oh gosh, that South Fork of the Trinity was just so gorgeous. I was so pleasantly surprised by that whole stretch from that first crossing off the dirt road, and then just that whole walk along there. Like you're presented with kind of a blown out right after the crossing. So I was kind of like, well, is it gonna be like this the whole way? And it just wasn't like it the whole way. It was great. Some overgrowth and some down trees, but nothing bad. And it was so gorgeous, that walk along the South Fork all the way to the Smoky Creek convergence confluence.
Yeah, that's really a special stretch. Mm-hmm. And it's been given a lot of love recently by the Watershed Center out of Hay Fork and Weaverville. They've really been keeping up on that trail. So I'm glad you found it in good shape.
Yeah, gorgeous. And then walking up to that view of Mount Lynn and heading down to, I guess it's Philpot down from there,
Philpot,
and
yes.
all that serpentine and ghost pine. And I, I'm not a botanist or arborist at all. So everything I was just learning from your guide, what all this stuff was. And so it was satisfying to recognize anything at all.
Well, good work. That's great. Yeah. It sounds like you really absorbed the environment. I mean, it's a trail for the trees, right? So thank you for taking advantage of that.
Yeah, it was so fun. I mean, there was so much that I think I wasn't able to find along the way. So, and that's just more reason to go back again, I think, and to like keep trying. So, but from there, it was just great. That whole Tule Canyon was a little hard. It was a little poison oaky, but I loved that bulldozer trail up before that, and then going down through there, and the Tule Creek was so pretty. And Hay Fork's a nice town to walk through.
That's a fun little stretch. It's the lowest elevation stretch of the Bigfoot Trail. But if you hit it right, we've been working on Tule Creek, and so is the Watershed Center. It's a little bit rough shape, but you have a very positive outlook on that after having beat through some poison oak. But and then coming into Hay Fork, it's a beautiful little town, sleepy little town. But and did you stay there? Did you resupply there?
No, I did call the Timberline Lodge. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Whatever motel is there, and they weren't open that day, which is fine. And I didn't really need anything at that point. And a lot of stuff was closed. It was a Monday. Maybe it was a Monday I was going through, or even a Sunday. I can't remember. But yeah, a lot of stuff was closed. But it was still gorgeous. It was a hot day, and I guess hotter because it was down low, like you said. So it was nice to get back along that big creek road and work my way up into the shade of those beautiful trees along that road.
Yeah, that's a nice road walk, isn't it?
Yeah, it was gorgeous. And so much, camping opportunity once you get into the national forest land again, I guess, up there. And then that next road walk really kicked my butt from
Up to Canyon Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
in a good
ideal.
way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I've driven that road so many times that it's shocking what you notice walking versus driving. And yeah, it's so pretty. All the views down to the creek along the road are things you can't really see from your car when you're driving. And the rock and everything was beautiful, but it was a relief to get back in the wilderness after all that and to do that
Yes.
Bear Creek
So
Trail.
that's when you enter the Trinity Alps.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about your approach to the Stewart's Fork and how that crossing went.
Yeah. Gosh. And yeah, I like that trail. It's grown on me a lot. I had first done that trail 2 weeks prior. And I think one of your teams had been cleaning it up in the 2 weeks before I had been there. I think Karen was telling me she was on that team. So it was significantly easier to get down there than it was my
Good.
first time.
Good. Yeah.
That was and it's just such a beautiful trail. So yeah, even being lost in the bushes, you still can't not appreciate how gorgeous it is. But yeah, the crossing was still pretty high, but I got there pretty early. So I just, had a very relaxing day on the side before the crossing and did it really early in the morning. I was hoping, because it was hot, there was a lot of snow melting. I thought that would make a difference. And I think it did. Felt pretty safe. It was like mid-thigh, and this was probably like June 20 something, June
Okay.
21st. So
Okay.
it was, a little bit early, not ideal, I guess, not as low as probably is most safe, but I made it across just fine. And it was funny because I was so worried about that crossing that I guess I didn't think about how much snow might be by the Caribou Lakes.
Yeah.
So I was just so relieved to make it across Stewart. But then that same day, went up that Sawtooth Trail to the Sawtooth Pass and immediately got to
With
this
98 switchbacks or whatever it is.
yeah
Yeah.
yeah that goes on and on, doesn't it? And yeah, and that I ran into another CCC team there, and they had actually cleaned up the Sawtooth Pass
Oh,
trail,
sweet.
so it was very debushed and very, very nice. But as soon as I got to the very top, boom, snowbank. And then I was just like so shocked. I mean, I knew there would be some snow up there, but it was like that upper Caribou Lake was still pretty frozen even. And so it was just such a stark contrast to like, yeah, that trail going up is really dry. So, and no water, and then just being confronted by that huge frozen lake, and the whole path down was still completely snow covered. And then
Yeah.
I went to sit down on a rock, and a rattlesnake immediately was just like right there at the snow line. So there was just a lot going on at the pass for me.
That's
But
interesting. Just to give anyone listening a perspective on this, this is a steep south-facing trail that you walk up to probably, what is it, about 7,200
I
feet,
think
maybe?
74. So
74.
I
And
think.
then all of a sudden you hit that north facing slope, like Eva's saying, and it is a different world. I mean, it's mountain hemlocks and, it's the subalpine all of a sudden out of the montane chaparral. So that's wild that you met a rattlesnake at that. If you met a rattlesnake at 7,400 feet, that's might be the highest I've ever heard of a rattlesnake in the Klamath Mountains. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right at the snow line too. I was shocked, and very glad it didn't bite me. I think it probably could have,
Yeah.
but I guess I shocked it too. So yeah, I don't think many people had been there yet that season, and it took me a while to get down to the lake, and then a long time too to still get through the snow down to what is it, Snow Slide Lake from there.
Yeah.
But it was so beautiful too, just navigating the snow patches and the melts, like the whatever you call those, the creek melts, and coming
Okay.
right out of
Yeah.
the snow, and just
Yeah.
gorgeous. Yeah, and I had actually been there 5 years prior, And so that's before the fire that went through there. So it was a little sad to see, you know, then how different that like Big Flat campground and the area between the Caribou Lakes and Big Flat were, you know, pretty affected by that fire. I wonder, would you say that's a healthy fire, Michael, or was that a more destructive one? Or,
you know, the fire started well. That was the river complex fire that started with a bunch of lightning in late June. And, you know, it started well, but as the fire moved to the east, it seemed to the temperatures also, the weather got warmer and the fire got more and more intense. And so that Coffee Creek area got kind of, I would say, high intensity, which is not ideal in many situations because it burns all the way up into the crowns of the trees and kills, it's a stand replacing event in many cases. So there was some good that came out of the river complex, but there was some bad, and most of it was concentrated in Coffee Creek, where you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you've got the highest point on the trail, Packers Peak, to get out of there.
Oh, that's right.
I'm assuming you you did the trail up to Packers Peak.
I did, and that was a lot of fun. luckily I had camped at Big Flat, so I had plenty of water the next day because there wasn't, I think, any water. I guess you had written about a spring on the way up, so I never ventured off trail to find that. But yeah, oh my gosh, that is just the most incredible walk up. And then once you get up there, it's stunning views on all sides. And I guess foxtail pines, and I'm
nice.
Not sure if I
you
knew
got
what
it.
Was what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's the highest, like I said, the highest point on the Bigfoot Trail. And it's got to have one of the best views in the Klamath Mountains, being at the divide of Coffee Creek and the Salmon River. Just the views down the Salmon River and towards the High Trinity Alps are, like you're saying, just spectacular.
Yeah, and there was just, it was cool to see the snow levels were, you know, high enough that they were just very, very snow capped still. And it was gorgeous.
Cool.
I think you can see, I can't recall if I could see definitely Shasta, but can't recall maybe even Lassen from there.
I think you might be able to see Lassen. Yep. So I'm curious about the trail conditions between Packers Peak and Rush Creek Lake. How was that? Was it relatively easy to find? Do we need to get in there and do some work?
Yeah, right at the top going down towards that Lady Gulch Trail was fine. You know, the switchbacks are good at the top, but then once you get to the softer soil, it's bad. I mean, it's easy to just walk through, but
yeah.
There was no trail that I could really find, just certain places where maybe there was a really old cut tree. I was like, oh, that must be
it. It got burned through, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
we were in there. Yeah. We were in there a week before that lightning strike happened.
Oh my gosh.
And we worked that trail almost to Packers Peak to Rush Creek Lake. So anyway,
frustrating. Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so then
I'd
you,
love to
then
join you,
you
there.
yeah,
be,
we would love.
Know.
We actually have some tentative plans to be in there in mid-June of 2025. We're going to go up into McNeil Creek, and there's apparently a nice spot to camp right below that four-way junction below Packers Peak that you were probably lost as you walked through there. But yeah, we're hoping to get in there and do some work. So cool. So tell us about, the in and out the Bigfoot Trail. So you probably dropped out of the Trinity Alps and up into the Russians?
Yes. And that was, I've been dying to go to the Russian wilderness for so long, and this was finally my chance. And it's just stunning, stunning coming out of the Trinities at Fish Lake, right? And then I loved that. I don't know if everyone would love it, but that Trail Creek kind of road, but it's totally disbanded, not really a road that seems like it's used anymore, up to that Siphon Lake. Man, I just thought that was the prettiest road walk up and up and up along that Trail Creek. And
nice.
I took your advice and camped up on that ridge, and just gorgeous sunset, gorgeous sunrise, and into the Russians from there. just, yeah, most stunning walk from yeah, that Siphon Lake and then down into the forests along Little Russian Creek. I blew my mind. Like I said, I'm not terrible at tree identification. I think at that point there were just so many different trees. I decided not to think about it at all and just enjoy how stunning and imperial and old and gigantic those trees through there were. And just the creek going through there is so sandy bottomed, and the way it just curves along through those what are they? Just meadows and then trees again. It was just stunning. I'll
Yeah,
never forget it.
it's a beautiful long anciently glaciated valley. Pleistocene glaciers were in there, and it's kind of like in some ways, like a canyon creek. You know, it's just a long, beautiful walk with not it's not a lot of gray, up and down necessarily, minus a few moraines that you drop down. So yeah, that's great. Cool. So yeah, tell us a little bit more. You from the Russians, you know, there's a little bit of a road walk down to the Salmon River, but how'd that go?
Great. It was a hot day and kind of exposed along that road, but that's always a good time to get out your solar panel and just charge the battery. And yeah, it was a pretty walk, and the poison oak started coming out again. So
Yes.
I knew what I was in for along that Mule Creek, but actually it was in pretty good shape through there. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, those bridges are awesome, and
Some
just
nice swimming holes too.
yeah, definitely. It was actually hard to find a place to get in because the water was high. So I was like, okay, I don't have a long enough rope. Or yeah, it was flowing so well. I was almost a little tentative about where to get in, but definitely found some spots. And yeah, that's where I ended up getting off the Bigfoot. There was I took your trail advice. I guess you have that trail conditions page that said might want to consider taking the Shelly Meadow Trail, so I did that. And that's a gorgeous trail.
It
So
is. It is. Yeah. And so you went up there and jumped on the PCT and headed southbound, I guess, huh?
I actually had some resupply stashed at the Paradise Lake trailhead. So I had at before getting there, I wasn't sure if I was gonna have it. I thought maybe I'll have so much energy, I'll just want to bushwhack through Poison Oak to get there, to do the whole Woolly Creek thing that you all kind of advise against on your page. But I was pretty tired, so I decided not to do that. But yeah, I had food right before the descent to Syab Valley, so I ended up going out and then back along PCT BFT to get my bear canister that I had at the trailhead. But that was nice. I love Marble Valley. I've only been to the Marbles once before, so it was nice to just go back and forth. And
Cool. Well, that sounds like an amazing adventure. I mean, I'm super impressed in so many ways that I mean, you also got a little bit lucky because you probably heard the Shelly fire. We just mentioned sh the Shelly Trail. Shelly fire started probably not soon after you got out of there, I'd imagine,
Yeah,
right?
just a couple days. It was really, yeah, I think it was that heat wave. So yeah, I had finished my hike, also the PCT by the second, and I think, yeah, the Shelly fire started right around the July, right? July 2nd, July 3rd or
I think
4th
you're
or
right.
something. Yeah, which is so
Wow.
sad because that area is, kind of still recovering from what looked like a either really bad storm or burn or both. So got it
Yeah, it's
again.
burned a few times in the last 15 years or so. So you wrapped that up, you went home, you recuperated, and you decided you needed more Bigfoot trail, and you came out on one of our trail working adventures, probably the most dare I say extreme trail working trip that we have ever led. We were looking for, I think I qu said hardcore volunteers maybe, and you hiked what 13 miles up Woolly Creek and spent 8 days in Upper Woolly Creek putting in some work on that trail that really needs some love. And so tell us a little bit about how you decided to join a volunteer trail work and trip and some of your experiences up there?
Oh, it was also wonderful. I think one of the things I really love about the Bigfoot kind of trail alliance thing is that it just seems like, you know, there's this really big connection between hiking the trail, but also like the community of people that maintain it. And, you know, after meeting some of y'all, it's more of a family than a community. I think you're just an incredible group of people. And it was so nice to, even though we weren't directly working on the Bigfoot route, it was so nice to be up there kind of giving some tender, loving care, or maybe not very tender. We were, you know, sawing and hacking away at it. But after, you know, I just had such a great time hiking the trail. It meant a lot to be able to, you know, work on it. And even though it wasn't directly a part of it, to maybe improve conditions or, yeah.
Well, you all made a huge, impact in a space, in a place that I think is probably the furthest from any trailhead in California. I mean, it is out there, as you know, and I mean, people have been getting close to that area for the past 5 or so years, but it really hasn't seen a good, hand of work since probably 10 or 15 years ago. And next summer, it sounds like it's finally going to be opened up for the first time in many years, thanks to the effort of the Bigfoot Trail Alliance, as you mentioned, the Siskiyou Mountain Club, the Klamath National Forest, and we'll be back at it next year with the Siskiyou Mountain Club. But it also sounds like the California Conservation Corps is going to spend a lot of time back in that area, deep in the marbles. So hopefully we'll be able to remove the warnings from our map set and say, hey, this trail is now walkable again. So thanks so much for your efforts. Any takeaways from the trail work? Anything you feel like people should know or hear about your experience back there?
In terms of the trail work?
Just the work or, anything involved in that opportunity. I mean, I really appreciate the way you said it's like a family. I really feel like we have an amazing group of volunteers, and the people that do spend time on these trips become lifelong friends. I mean, it's really, it just happens, I think, for a variety of reasons, spending time together, sharing every meal together, working together, all of those things. So thanks for saying that, but anything else to add about that?
It's just that, it was one of my first times, definitely my first time involved with things like a 5 or 7 foot crosscut saw, and the way that I was, gradually kind of introduced to it and put on it kind of at my own pace, like based on my own abilities. I thought it was so great. Like it was, not too like in a classroom, we were just out there and they were, teaching me what I needed to know as the day went along. And it was just perfect, I thought.
Being
out there learning with them. Yeah, I learned so much. So thank you for having me on that.
Oh, of course. We appreciate it. That crosscut's a pretty magical tool. I'm glad you got to appreciate it.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, Eva, thanks so much for joining the Bigfoot Trail Tales podcast, sharing your adventures. And we look forward to working with you and hiking with you into the future.
Same here. Thanks for having me, Michael.
Thanks for listening to Bigfoot Trail Tales, produced by the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. We are a 501c3 nonprofit working to support the 360-mile route through the Klamath Mountains with educational and recreational opportunities. To learn more, visit bigfoottrail.org.